This morning I'm going to preach on the subject, what to do with sin. What to do with sin. And before I start, I need to make sure that everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say the word sin. You don't have to go to Bible college to understand what sin is. You don't have to go to church very long to understand what sin is. God made it very simple. Sin is disobeying Him. In its simplest form, sin is disobeying God. It's deciding not to do something He said to do, or it's deciding to do something that He said not to do. And let me remind every single person this morning, sin is not something that sneaks up on us. Sin is not something that takes us by surprise. Sin is a decision on our part. It's a decision that we make. Every single one of us is born with a sin nature. All of us are born with a bent to sin. Every little baby is born with a sin nature. And you've noticed the same things I have noticed. Little baby could be dry. Little baby could just be fed. Little baby could have everything that they need, and yet they'll lay in their crib or sit in their little high chair and cry. They're liars. I love them, but they're liars. They don't need anything. They just cry. But listen, it's not until that little baby gets old enough to realize the difference between right and wrong and face a decision. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Or I know I should do this and I'm not going to do it. That God holds us accountable for our sin. And so I believe every little baby that was born and died before they reached that age, I believe they're in heaven this morning. I don't believe that God sends little babies to hell until they reach that age of accountability. And that age is when we know the difference between right and wrong, and we choose wrong. So I say this morning that this message, what should we do with sin, applies to every single one of us. Because you see, we're all sinners this morning. Now, a bunch of us are saved sinners. Our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. But there might be some here this morning that are unsaved sinners. But we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our standard is not each other. I don't determine that I'm a sinner by comparing myself to Brother Wendell. He doesn't determine that he's a sinner by comparing himself to me. I can find somebody that's a whole lot worse than I am, and I can say, well, God, that person is a whole lot worse than I am. I must be a pretty good person. That's not how God says to do it. He says if you want to compare yourself to somebody, and this is the somebody you need to compare yourself to, if you're deciding whether you're a sinner or not, compare yourself to Jesus. He is the perfection embodied in human form of God, and so compare yourself to Him. And as we compare ourselves to Him, every single one of us have to say, yes, I'm a sinner. So this message that I'm preaching this morning applies to every single person because we're all sinners. And it's an important message because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, not physical death, although sin sometimes leads to physical death before God had planned for it to happen. But I'm talking about the wages of sin is spiritual death. Being separated from God. I mentioned in Sunday school, every single person was created with a part of your being that desires and has to have a relationship with God. Every single person was created with that desire. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, there's a part of you that is empty. Because your sin separates you from God. In the beginning, it was Adam and Eve's sin that separated them from God. On the cross, it was our sin that separated Jesus from God. And again, if you're an unsaved sinner here this morning, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that sin separates you from your Creator, from your God. And so the question, what should we do with sin? Let me tell you some things that won't work. Blaming other people for our sin won't work. God won't say, when we go to God and say, well, it's not my fault, it's their fault. God won't say, okay, you're okay. That doesn't work. You see, Adam tried it. In the Garden of Eden, God said, don't eat of this one tree. That tree's mine. You're going to eat of every other tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, leave it alone. Because in the day that you eat of it, it die. Adam ate from that tree. God came to him in Genesis chapter 3 and asked the question, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And here's what Adam answered. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Here's what Adam was saying. Not my fault. It's that woman you gave me. Eve. She's the one that gave it to me, and I ate it. If you're going to blame somebody, don't blame me. Blame her. Oh, and by the way, God, you gave me her. So it's really your fault. You know what? We got people today that are still blaming others for their sin. I know people that say, well, it's my grandpa's fault. I had a bad grandpa, and he just sort of set my course of life, and I'm a sinner because of my grandpa. Or it's my mom's fault. Or it's the environment's fault. It's the place, it's the way I was raised. If you want to know whose fault your sin is, look in the mirror. Your grandpa may not have been everything a grandpa should be. Your mother may not have been everything a mother should be. But you're a sinner because one day you decided to sin. One day you decided to do something God said not to do, or you decided not to do something that God said to do. And I'm a sinner this morning, and you're a sinner this morning, because one day we faced a decision, and we made a decision to disobey God. So blaming other people is not going to get us right with God. Trying to hide it is not going to work either. Achan tried that. In the book of Joshua, God told Joshua, hey, you're going to go into Jericho, and everything in this city is mine. I don't want you, I don't want anybody else to take anything for themselves. Everything in the city is going to come into the treasury of the Lord. It says in Joshua 6:19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. A man named Achan made a decision. He saw some gold. He saw some silver. He saw a garment, some clothes. And he made a decision. I know God said not to take anything, but I'm going to take this gold. And I'm going to take this silver. And I'm going to take this Babylonian garment. And he took it. And he hid it in his tent. His wife did not know, his children did not know, his parents did not know, his closest friends did not know. Nobody knew that Achan had sinned. He thought he had it hid from everybody. But there's somebody we cannot hide sin from. And that somebody is God. And God told Joshua, and I don't have time to tell you the story, they went to Ai and they lost the battle of Ai. And Joshua went to God and said, why? And God said, because there's sin in the camp. And God had Joshua have all the tribes come and all the people of the tribe that was selected. And in Joshua 7:19, Joshua was talking to Achan. He says, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession unto him and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered, indeed, I have sinned. I saw the garment, I saw the silver, I saw the gold. I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth. He buried them underneath his tent. And again, nobody knew that they were there except for God. You know what? You can hide your sin from your spouse. You can hide your sin from your children. You can hide your sin from your parents. You can hide your sin from your closest friend. But there's one you cannot hide your sin from, and that's God. It says in the book of Numbers, behold, if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So what do we do with sin? Blaming somebody else doesn't do anything. Trying to hide it doesn't do anything. Trying to justify it doesn't work with God either. You know, that's what Saul tried to do. Samuel told Saul, I want you to go against the Amalekites. I want you to kill every animal, every person. I want you to destroy everything that this people have. Saul was the king of Israel. I mean, that was a clear instruction from God. You know, so many people are here today. Well, God didn't make his instructions clear. Come on. But Saul said, or Samuel told Saul, just go in, kill every person, kill every animal. God doesn't want anything left from this people. And Saul led the nation of Israel, and they went into battle, and they won the battle. And you would have think it would have been easy for the king of Israel to do exactly what God said. But the Bible says he saved the best of the animals. He saved the king of Amalek. And God came to Samuel as Saul was on his way back from the battle, and he said to Samuel, Saul hath not performed my commandments. He has not done what I said. Samuel met Saul and said, "What? Why? Why did you not do what God said? Why did you disobey God?" And Saul tried to justify his decision. He says, I spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Let me explain it, God. You don't understand. I saved the best. I know you told me to destroy everything, but I saved the best so that I could bring them back to you and sacrifice to you. And today, people try to justify sin. They try to explain to God why they disobey him. We can call sin sickness. It's still sin. We can call sin a lifestyle. It's still sin. We can call sin somebody's rights, but it's still sin. You can dress up a pig and put a bow on its head and lipstick on its lips, but it's still a pig. And regardless of how we try to explain what we do and why we do it to God, he says, it's still sin. So if blaming other people won't work, if hiding it won't work, if trying to justify it won't work, what will work? What will fix it? I mean, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. One time I stood underneath that penalty. One time many people in this room stood underneath that penalty. What can we do to fix it? And the answer is nothing. I can't do anything to fix my sin. The book of Ephesians says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works. Now listen to me, I'm speaking both to the saved and the unsaved. I'm speaking to those that never accepted Christ as their Savior, and I'm speaking to Christians this morning. What do I do with sin? Nothing. There is nothing that I can do to get forgiveness from God of sin on my own. No work that I can. I can't be good enough. I can't join a church. I can't get baptized. I can't take communion. I can do nothing on my own. What to do with sin? When we could do nothing, God did everything. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And on Calvary, God took all of my sin and all of your sin and laid them on his son, Jesus Christ. And as Christ hung on that cross, he paid the price for all our sin. Now, let me illustrate real quick. Hey, Nick, you and Daryl, come up here. Come up right here. All right, We're going to let Nick be the center. We're going to let Daryl represent Jesus this morning. All right, here's what happened. Here's Nick, all his sin. He's a wicked sinner, isn't he? You can tell just by looking at him. I love you. I'm God, and God loves sinners. And Nick could not do anything to take this sin away from himself. He could not be good enough. How good do you have to be to have God forgive your sin? How many good things do you have to do? I don't know. I can't answer that question because the answer is not in the Bible. It's not of works. But here's what God did for us. When we could do nothing to pay for our sin, God took all of our sin off of ourselves and put them on his son. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he bore my sin. He bore your sin. He bore the sins of the whole world, all the sins in the past, all the sins of the present, all the sins in the future. And he paid the price for our sin. So what do we do with sin? We can't blame other people. We can't hide it. We can't justify it. What do with sin? We put it on Jesus Christ. And he pays the price. He pays the price. All right, thank you guys. Now listen, I speak to the unsaved this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, there's nothing you can do to pay for your sins. But Jesus paid for them. And if you'll receive him this morning, he'll take care of all your sins. He'll take care of every single one of them. He'll make you right with God. He'll make you so right with God that you'll stand before God just as if you've never sinned. Justified. Justified. Now, let me speak to the Christians for just a second. You know what? There's a lot of Christians living their life thinking that the only way they can hold on to their salvation is to be good. Be good. And if you're not good enough, God will take that gift of salvation back. Let me ask you this morning, how good do you have to be? No, here's how we would ask it. How bad can I be and still be saved? Can I do this and still be saved? Can I do this and still be saved? Can I do this and still be saved? I'm glad as a Christian that my salvation does not depend on what I do. I tell you what, I couldn't go to sleep at night if my salvation depended on me. My salvation is not dependent on what I do or what I don't do. My salvation is dependent on what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. And every one of the sins that I still commit today are on him, on the cross, paid for by my Savior. That's why God put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not because of my good deeds, but because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. You can find somebody to blame for your sins, but won't make a difference to God. You can try to hide them, and you can hide them. Nobody in your family will know, your preacher won't know, your children won't know, but God will know. You can try to justify him. You can try to explain to God why you disobey him, but it won't make any difference. The only thing that makes a difference is what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary's cross. And if you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Savior, would you come? Would you just say, I'm a sinner? Say like David did when he sinned. He went before God and he says, I have sinned. I'm a sinner. And I deserve the penalty that God deemed for sin, eternal separation from him. But Jesus Christ paid the price. And if you're here today and you've never received him as your Savior, he wants to be your Savior. He wants to save you. He wants to give you that gift of eternal life. And he'll do it if you'll simply ask him. If you'll simply ask him. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, we ought to do right. But sometimes we don't. And we can do the same thing. We can blame somebody else. We can try to hide it and we can try to justify it. But I want to remind you this morning, all of my sins as a Christian and all of your sins as a Christian were placed on Christ. and he paid for them when he died on Calvary. He paid for them. He paid for them. And if you'll ask him, he'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that love. The love that drew salvation's plan, the love that brought it down to man, the love that we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray, if there's somebody here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Would you help them put aside all their excuses? Would you help them put aside everything that's held them back in the past? And would you help them right where they sit? Say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be separated from my God forever and ever. But right now I'm asking you to be my Savior. And save them, Lord Jesus, save them. And I pray that if they've prayed that prayer, if they need help in doing it, that they come in just a second as we stand and sing in just a minute. And we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to do that. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, help us not to labor under sin. Help us to confess them. Help us to not keep anything between you and us. Help us to confess our sins and get that forgiveness that comes from you, again, only through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you bless this time of invitation. I pray, again, for every unsaved sinner that they would come. I pray for the saved sinners that you would forgive us. And Father, if you're speaking to others about maybe getting baptized or maybe joining the church, I pray that they would come this morning and be obedient to what you tell them to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.